Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will offer an update on the case of Anna Kapner. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Anna Marie Kapner was born on June 13, 2007, and lived in Titusville, Florida. Her father, Christopher Kapner, and her mother, Heather Wright, divorced when Anna was 4 years old. Anna ended up with Christopher. Her father became romantically involved with a woman named Chantel Hudson, who he married in December 2024. Due to this relationship, Anna lived in a blended family of eight, including Chantel's son, Timothy Hudson. This would make Timothy Anna's stepbrother. Timothy was 2 years younger than Anna. In the fall of 2025, Anna was a senior at Temple Christian School, where she was active in gymnastics and cheerleading. She was scheduled to graduate in May 2026 and planned on joining the Navy. Her long-term plan was to become a canine police officer. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. Anna Kapner was booked on a six-day cruise to the Caribbean on Carnival Horizon out of Port Miami, scheduled to sail in early November 2025. Horizon would be sailing to Jamaica, Grand Cayman, Cozumel, Mexico, then back to Miami, Florida. Carnival Horizon is a Vista-class cruise ship, which went into service in 2018. It is 1,061 feet long, has 15 passenger decks, carries up to 3,960 passengers, and has a crew of 1,450. Carnival has a reputation as catering to passengers looking for a party cruise. The cruise line can feel less like luxury on the high seas and more like spring break with a buffet. On November 2, 2025, Anna Kapner boarded Carnival Horizon along with her father, Christopher, her stepmother, Chantel, her sister, her stepsister, her 13-year-old half-brother, Connor Kapner, and her 16-year-old stepbrother, Timothy Hudson. Anna shared stateroom number 8343 with Connor and Timothy. This is a starboard side midship 185-square-foot stateroom, similar to a walk-in closet, but not quite as luxurious. It featured two twin beds that converted into one king bed, as well as two upper Pullmans, which are bunk beds. Anna slept in the king bed. Connor and Timothy slept in the bunk beds. Inside rooms do not have a veranda or a window. Across the hall, Christopher, Chantel, Anna's sister, and Anna's stepsister were in stateroom 8341, which featured a veranda. The ship left Port Miami as planned and visited Jamaica and Grand Cayman. The trip seemed to be going well. On November 6, 2025, Horizon stopped at Cozumel, Mexico. At 6:30 p.m., the vessel departed. The plan was for Horizon to have a day at sea on November 7 and arrive in Miami on November 8. So the vessel was not stopping at any more ports. It was headed back to its home port, where the cruise would terminate. Unfortunately, this final stretch of the voyage would turn out terribly, even by Carnival standards. On the evening of Thursday, November 6, as Horizon was sailing away from Mexico, Anna went to dinner with her family members. While at dinner, Anna complained that her mouth hurt due to her braces and indicated that her stomach was upset. She returned to her stateroom, 8343. On the next day, Friday, November 7, 2025, members of the cleaning crew found Anna dead in her stateroom at 11:24 a.m. She was wrapped in a blanket and stuffed underneath her bed. The crew members believed that someone had tried to hide her because life vests were obstructing the view of her body from the rest of the room. It also appeared as though her bed had not been slept in. Carnival Horizon returned to Port Miami on November 8 as scheduled. Special maritime laws placed Anna's murder under the jurisdiction of the United States because the ship was operating out of a U.S. port. Here is what law enforcement found during the course of their investigation. On the evening of November 6, 2025, Timothy Hudson entered stateroom 8343 at 7:35 p.m. Anna arrived at the stateroom at 7:38 p.m. Again, she left dinner because she was not feeling well. After entering the stateroom, Anna never left it again. This was the last time she was seen alive on video surveillance. At 7:51 p.m., Anna's half-brother Connor and two friends could be seen walking down the hallway toward stateroom 8343. Connor entered the stateroom, then quickly exited. He told investigators that he saw Anna in the stateroom at that time. She was alive. At 8:14 p.m., Anna sent a message on Snapchat. This is the last time her phone was active. At 10:13 p.m., Timothy Hudson opened the stateroom door and looked left and right down the hallway, as if he was checking to see if anyone was there. This was the only time he was observed engaging in this behavior. After looking around, he exited the stateroom. Between 10:23 p.m. and 10:49 p.m., Timothy could be seen entering and exiting the stateroom approximately two more times. At 10:53 p.m., he exited the stateroom and placed the privacy sign on the door. Timothy re-entered at 11:07 p.m. At 11:21 p.m., Connor could be seen entering stateroom 8343. He told investigators that he did not see Anna in the stateroom at that time. 2 minutes later, at 11:23 p.m., Connor exited the stateroom. At 11:31 p.m., Timothy exited the stateroom and re-entered at 11:44 p.m. At 12:09 a.m., now on November 7, 2025, Connor attempted to enter stateroom 8343, but he could not get in. Connor told investigators that when he opened the stateroom door, Timothy put his arm out to block the door from opening. He did not allow Connor to enter and yelled, "Wait, don't come inside." Timothy indicated that he was changing. Connor noticed that the bathroom and closet doors were open and all the lights in the stateroom were activated. He found this to be odd or weird. Timothy directed Connor to wait outside the stateroom, which was also captured on video surveillance. Connor was in the hallway for 2 minutes until Timothy opened the door and permitted him to enter. Connor did not see Anna in the stateroom. Just over 9 hours later, at 9:20 a.m., Connor exited stateroom 8343. At 9:26 a.m., Timothy exited the stateroom and returned at 9:48 a.m. 2 minutes later, he left the stateroom again with something in his left hand. Timothy eventually made his way to Deck 10 Aft, which is the Wido Marketplace restaurant. At 9:52 a.m., he could be seen reaching into an area near a trash bin on the starboard side. He was there for 22 seconds before walking back to stateroom 8343. He entered the stateroom at 9:55 a.m. Later, Anna's cell phone was found in the trash bin that Timothy was near. The phone was severely damaged and the screen was broken. Carnival Horizon has multiple routers positioned throughout the ship. Investigators reviewed the data and found that the phones of Timothy and Anna moved together during the time Timothy went to the Wido Marketplace. It seemed pretty clear that Timothy was attempting to get rid of the phone. One might think that there was something on Anna's phone he wanted to hide. However, investigators did not find any information on that phone about Anna's murder or about her relationship with Timothy. At 11:24 a.m., cleaning crew members discovered Anna's body. 3 minutes later, at 11:27 a.m., Timothy walked by stateroom 8343 and made no effort to look inside to see what was happening, even though the stateroom door was open and many people were in there. It was almost like Timothy knew what happened in the stateroom, so there was no need to look. Based on an examination of Anna's body, it appeared as though she had been strangled and sexually assaulted. Timothy's DNA was found on her. It was also revealed that during the cruise, Anna had sexual contact with another male referred to in court documents as minor witness 2. On February 3, 2026, 16-year-old Timothy Hudson was arrested and charged with murder in the first degree and aggravated sexual abuse. His trial is scheduled to begin on September 14, 2026, in federal court in Miami, Florida. Now moving to my analysis. Presumably, Timothy Hudson maintains his innocence, although he does not appear to have too many supporters. The government would, of course, disagree about his innocence. They argue that the case against Timothy is overwhelming. He was alone in the stateroom when Anna was murdered. Timothy is the only person who could have killed her. This brings me to the question, is Timothy guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea he is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. Investigators interviewed Anna Kapner's former boyfriend. He said that he would frequently communicate with Anna on FaceTime at night. Sometimes they would fall asleep while the call was connected. During one such conversation, Anna fell asleep while he was up working in his garage. He heard a noise coming from Anna's phone. When he looked at it, he saw Timothy trying to get into the bed with Anna. The ex-boyfriend yelled at Timothy, which led to Timothy running out of Anna's room. After the ex-boyfriend informed Anna about what happened, she decided against telling her father. Anna felt like Timothy was a little weird, and he possessed quite a few knives. Therefore, she was a little bit afraid of him. On November 6, 2025, Anna, Timothy, and Connor were sharing an inside stateroom aboard Carnival Horizon. She arrived in the stateroom at 7:38 p.m. Timothy had been there for 3 minutes. Nobody else was in that stateroom, just Anna and Timothy. Anna used her cell phone for the last time at 8:14 p.m. About 2 hours later, at 10:13 p.m., Timothy opened the door and looked up and down the hallway, the only time he ever did that. What was he looking for? 40 minutes later, he put the privacy sign on the door. Who did he need privacy from? Typically, those signs are used in the morning when people want to sleep in, not at night when no crew members would be coming to the room anyway. There is a sense that Timothy selected this sign because he couldn't find the one labeled Murder Cleanup in Progress. When Connor arrived at the stateroom at 11:21 p.m., he did not see Anna. Connor left 2 minutes later. This is not enough time to harm Anna. When Connor returned to the stateroom 47 minutes later, Timothy prevented him from entering for 2 minutes. This is incredibly suspicious. During the morning of November 7, Timothy disposed of Anna's phone. He walked by the stateroom after the body was discovered by crew members and could not even perform the standard confused human glance. Anna had been strangled and sexually assaulted, and Timothy's DNA was on her body. Moving to the exculpatory factors, there were no witnesses to the murder, no video. Maybe Timothy could argue that Anna attacked him after they had a consensual sexual encounter. During this altercation, he strangled her in self-defense. That's pretty much it for the exculpatory factors. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Timothy is guilty of murder? Yes, I believe he is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. For some time, Timothy found himself attracted to his stepsister, Anna. He knew that their family relationship made any type of romance socially unacceptable, but he continued to entertain the fantasy anyway. Anna found Timothy to be strange and was a little nervous that he could be dangerous. However, she was not overly troubled by his demeanor. For instance, it appears as though she did not object to sharing a small windowless stateroom with him on board Carnival Horizon. Maybe she felt safe because her half-brother, Connor, was also in the room. During the cruise, Anna had sex with a teenage male from out of state who has not been identified. When the government says out of state, I presume they mean outside of Florida. Timothy may have known this teenage male, or perhaps Anna told him that she had sex, but either way, he learned about her behavior. This sent him into a jealous rage. Timothy had a pronounced sense of entitlement. He said to himself, if she can have sex with that other teenager, why can't she have sex with me? With thoughts like this in his mind, Timothy found himself alone with Anna in the stateroom during the evening of November 6. This was unexpected. Anna left other family members at dinner because she was not feeling well. Timothy saw this as his chance to have sex with Anna. When she rejected him, he conducted the sexual assault, then strangled her. This crime was not planned long in advance. It may not have been premeditated at all. This left Timothy in a challenging position. There was only one way in or out of the stateroom, and he was the only other person in there with Anna. Everybody was going to know that he was the killer. The best strategy he could think of as far as escaping responsibility was to hide Anna's body under the bed. The only realistic chance at creating reasonable doubt for Timothy was to make it seem like Connor could have been involved in Anna's death. There was no proof that Anna died prior to Connor entering the stateroom at 12:09 a.m. on November 7. Therefore, it was plausible for Timothy to frame Connor. The problem is that during the morning of November 7, Timothy disposed of Anna's phone. He eliminated any chance of casting suspicion on Connor with that move. I believe that Timothy would have been the prime suspect either way, but at least he could have muddied the waters a little bit, maybe have given himself a chance at a plea deal. Throwing that phone away sealed Timothy's fate. It is very likely that his cruising days are over. Now moving to my final thoughts. One element that troubles a lot of people who examine this case is the reasoning behind putting Anna in the same stateroom as Timothy. This was clearly a bad idea, not just in retrospect. It was a bad idea even if there had been no murder. I'm not sure what Anna's parents were thinking here. There was an obvious solution. Anna could have been in the stateroom with her sisters. That would have made a lot more sense. I think what happens sometimes with blended families is parents just assume their children will view each other as siblings and not in any other type of way. Like just by declaring that a family relationship now exists, human nature is somehow defeated. Anna did not have 10 or 15 years with Timothy as a stepbrother. They had only lived in the same residence for about 2 years. Not growing up together meant there was no real opportunity to view each other as siblings. It appears as though Timothy viewed Anna as a romantic prospect, even though she did not feel the same way. This was an inside job. Unwittingly, Timothy was handed all the access he needed to, allegedly, kill his stepsister. Those are my thoughts on the case of Anna Kapner. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.